Morning of today's Daf and Sanhedrin is Nun Dalet. We are Nun Gimel Medbeis. Okay, we are coming off of a Mishnah. If you take a look back on Nun Gimel Med Aleph, so just as a reminder of the Mishnah, Elaine and Eskalin, these are the people who are subject to the Skila penalty. The Mishnah listed 18 different Yisurim in the Torah that one is subject to the Skila penalty. Some of them the Torah mentions explicitly. Some of them are learned out through Drush. But all 18 of them are subject to the skila penalty. So and a number of them are arise in the Torah, and the Gemara went on to discuss. Now our big discussion over the course of today is going to really be the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. If you look back at the Mishnah, I'm just reviewing the Mishnah. So habala aim chayav ala mishum aim or mishum eshesav. So if a man has relations with his mother, so he's going to be subject to two penalties in the Torah. One is going to be aim, and the other one is going to be eshesav. Now, in terms of capital punishment, so to you and I, it's not going to make a difference because, or to the person himself, it's not going to make a difference because you can only be put to death one time. So in terms of ringing it up as two yisurim in the Torah, so it's really, truth be told, it's okay. In other words, but, you know, capital punishment two times over. In other words, you're only going to be put to death once. So that's not going to really play out any differences. The difference over here in terms of ringing it up as one versus two is going to be in the case of Shogeg. Now, admittedly, the case of Shogeg is very strange because Shogeg means he had a lack of awareness. So, in other words, whatever he was unaware of is obviously very unusual. But still, in other words, at least in theory it's possible, in the abstract it's possible. Conceptually, certainly it's something we could discuss, which we're discussing right now. And that is that if they're two Isurim, and the person did a Bishogig, so he's Chayv two Karban Chatzos. If it's one Isur, and he did a Bishogig, so it's one Karban Chatzos. So there's going to come out to be a real practical difference. Now again, practical difference for you and I, we don't have a Beis HaBeitus, we don't have a Karban Chatzos. I understand it's not a practical difference for you and I, but when you're talking about the difference between one versus two, but that is a real difference. So the Gemara now is going to be discussing over the course of this morning the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda. Now, I didn't read the position of Rav Yehuda yet in the Mishnah. I'm going to do that right now. Rav Yehuda Omer, again, this is just by way of review. Rav Yehuda Omer Eino Chayv Ela Mishum Ha'em Milvad. That when one has relations with one's mother, he's only going to be chayv for the erva of aim and not for eshes of. Now, of course, Rav Yehuda's position is very difficult because I said it yesterday, I say it again, I keep saying it. Once an erva, always an erva. Meaning, once somebody has a status of an erva, that status stays even if the cause of that status is no longer there. Like, I can just give multitudes of examples. Just as a simple example, right? Let's say you have a daughter-in-law, and let's say she either the son either divorces or dies. And she's no longer your daughter-in-law. In terms of arayos, she's your daughter-in-law. Meaning, once she has the status of an erva, she always will have that status of an erva. And so, for Rav Yehuda Shita, it is admittedly a little bit strange over here, because Rav Yehuda is basically saying that even though she was your father's wife, but nevertheless, though, if a person has relations with her, you're only chayv for aim, not for eshes av. Well, how can that be? How should that be? So that's what we're about to discuss right now. Okay, so we are on a Gimel Amud Beis, and the Gemara now is going to be discussing the Shita of Rav Yehuda and the Mishnah. Now, we already went through yesterday the Gemara, the first circuit of the Gemara, where the Gemara quoted a Brisa, and the Brisa brought in a slightly different version of Rav Yehuda than that which we saw in the Mishnah. And I encourage you to go back and review the Gemara that we did yesterday, where the Gemara had a slightly different version, where according to at least to the Brisa's version, we don't have to explain Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah. However, we're going to have to explain Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah. First of all, we have the Mishnah. And secondly, as the Gemara is now going to point out, Rav Yitzchak clearly subscribes to it. So we start in the Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis, and we're starting Ki Asa Rav Yitzchak. Ki Asa Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak comes in, and he teaches the following. Tani, we learned in a Braisa Kididnan, as we have learned in our Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah and the Braisa are one in the same. Setting this to stun. Okay. So the Kidnan Rav Yehuda, I'm sorry. Tani Kidnan Rav Yehuda, Omei Enochayv Ela Mishum Ha'im Bavad. Oh, okay, so we have a Brisa, and the Brisa says very clearly that when a man has relations with his mother, he's only going to be subject to the erva of Imo and not Eishes Av. My Taima. Sorry, other way around. Utaima Mai. And why should that be? Meaning it demands an explanation. She was your father's wife at one point in time. So why isn't she also coupled together with the fact that she's imcha, and that's one of the arayos in the Torah, why not also brand her, give her the status of Eishes Av? And how come, according to Rav Yehuda, that Isser goes away and she only remains with the Isser of Imcha? Okay, so the Gemara to this question, it's a very simple question, it's a very basic question, is going to give a number of suggestions. The first couple the Gemara is going to reject. Amar Abaye. Amakra, Imcha hi mishum ima tamecheve via tamecheve mishum Eishes Av. So it would be very helpful if we had a really good familiarity with the Pesukim. Just for our purposes right now, I'm not expecting us to have like instant familiarity with the Pesukim, but the one thing that you should know, going into all these discussions about the Arayos in the Torah. Arayos comes up twice in the Torah. Once it comes up in Acharimos, the second time in Parshas Kedoshim. In Acharimos, those parshios are back-to-back in the Torah. Okay. These parshios, as they introduce us to the Arayos in the Torah, so in Acharimos, that's the Azhara, that's the warning, meaning in Parshas Acharimos, that's where the Torah sets up that you're not allowed to have relations with her and with her and with her and with her. And it actually goes through all the Arayos in the Torah, and then and that's all in Perek Yud Ches in Parshas Acharimos, and then you turn just a couple of pages later in the Chumashim, and you're in Parshas Kedoshim, and you move to Perek Chaf, and there the Torah repeats and reviews. Here are all the Arayos in the Torah, and the Torah gives us the punishment, the Onish. So there are really two Parshas back to back. Acharimos has the Azhara, has the warning, and Kedoshim has the Onish, that has the punishment. Okay, that's the most basic piece of information that everyone should know walking into these Gemaras. And now what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to be citing Psukim regarding our particular question. Now again, our particular question is that at least according to Rav Yehuda, when a man has relations with his mother, even if at one point in time she was married to your father, she only has the erva of Imcha, not the erva of Eishes Av. Why should that be? So here we go now with try number one. This is Abaye. I'm going to reread again. Amar Abaye. Amar Abaye Amakra Imchahi. So this is an Acharimos. The Torah says that she's your mother. By the Torah repeating and reviewing the words Imchahi, that is coming to teach me that when one has relations with his mother, that only will be Imcha to the exclusion of Eishes Av. So Elamiata Ervas Eishes Avicha Lo Segala Ervas Avicha Hi. So the Gemara says, if we're going to use that kind of strategy in understanding the Torah, well, let's look at another pasuk, also in Acharimos, where the Torah says, "Eishes Avicha Lo Segala, Ervas Avicha Hi." And now, let's use the same logic that we just used. Mishum Eishes Av, Atamechav Avi, Atamechav Mishum Imo. That you're only going to be subject to the penalty of Eishes Av, and not to the penalty of Imo. So, Elam Ela. Imo Shi Eishes Av, Kai Hachu Mamaitla, Kai Hachu Mamaitla. So now, it brings us to an absurdity. Where, let's say, the woman is both your mother and your father's wife. Okay, what we would call a normal family. Right, quote, a normal family. By the way, keep in mind, by the way, we're talking about this normal family, as now the son is, in this particular family, having relations with his mother. So, I just simply say normal in the sense that she's your mother and she's your father's wife. Okay, so, now, the Gemara says, so, where are we right now? In such a situation, well, are you chayav for, is the son going to be chayav because she's imcha? No, Eishes Aviv. No, the Torah says Eishes Aviv to disqualify or to preclude Imo. What about the fact that she's Eishes Aviv? Oh, no, Imo tells me to preclude Eishes Aviv. So the Gemara basically says now that if the logic is that one pasuk excludes the other, so when she's both, so what are you going to tell me now, that there's a double exclusion? Now, that is patently absurd. It's simply untenable. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. So Imo, she Eishes Aviv, Kai Hachem Amayla, Kai Hachem Amayla, Hashe Imo, she Eino Eishes Aviv Mechayev, Eishes Aviv, she Eino Imo Mechayev, Imo, she Eishes Aviv Lo Mechayev, Klal. So the Gemara says, just think of the absurdity. If she's just your mother and not your father's wife, you'll be Chayev. If she's your father's wife but not your mother, meaning your stepmother, so you're going to be Chayev. And if you take the two and put them together, you're going to be Pater, you're going to be exempt. That is just simply illogical. It's just an untenable conclusion. And Vesula Rabbananami Aksi Vimchahi. And let's also not forget that according to the Chachamim, they say that when a man has relations with his mother, so he's going to be Chayev for Imo and for Eishes Av. And according to the Chachamim, he also knows about the Pasuk Imchahi. He's familiar with the Torah. to say the least. He knows about the pasuk v'imchahi, and the chachamim clearly don't use that pasuk to exclude and preclude your mother to the exclusion of eshesav. So ella ha'humi ba'ile lechadrav shisha b'rei d'rav idi l'rav Yehuda nami ha'humi ba'ile lechadrav shisha b'rei d'rav idi. So the Gemara says, as far as the pasuk of v'imchahi, that's going to be used for a different halacha, a halacha that we're going to hopefully see a little bit later on this morning. We're going to get to it hopefully, but basically, I need that pasuk to teach me a totally different point. So, back to our question. So let's go. Let's just reset the question, and then let's give our second attempted answer. Question: according to Rav Yehuda, if a man has relations with his mother, who at one point in time was married to her father, married to his father, I should say, so he's only going to be subject to the prohibition of the Torah of Imcha, but not to the prohibition of Eshazav. That is the Shita of Rav Yehuda. The Chachamim disagree. Chachamim say that no, she's both. She's both Imo and she's Eshazav, but according to Rav Yehuda, she's only Chayev. You're only going to be Chayev for one, not for two. Why should that be? Here we go now with our second attempt of an answer. Elam Rav Acha Bered Rav Ika Amakra Erva Sa. So the Torah says Erva Sa Mishum Erva Acha Sa Tamechav Avi Tamechav Mishum Shtei Arayos. So the Gemara now is giving a second attempt of an answer, and that is that when it comes to Arayos, you cannot have multiple Arayos applied to a singular woman, meaning that it will be one Erva and not multiple Arayos. So the Gemara says, Ela Miatza, the Gemara says, is that true? Is that even true? Ervas kalaska lo sigala eshes bin chayim. Lo sigala erva sa. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider that with the Torah, when presenting us to the Isser of a daughter-in-law, the Torah says that she is your daughter-in-law, the wife of your son. Now, hachinami mishum erva achas atamechav v'yatamechav mishum shtei ervos. Now, you want to tell me that this new rule that we just learned together, that according to Rav Yehuda, you can only be subject to one erva, not multiple arayos. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider. Hatanan abba kalasu chayvala mishum kalasu mishum eshesish. Bein b'chaye b'no, bein la'acha mises b'no. Do you remember the Mishnah that we did yesterday? The Mishnah taught us that if a man has relations with his daughter-in-law, he's subject to two erva penalties. One, that she's your daughter-in-law, and two, she's a married woman. Now, in that line of the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda did not argue. He didn't balk at that line of the Mishnah, which means v'lo palag Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda didn't argue. And so therefore, Rav Yehuda is obviously open to entertain the idea that you can have one woman be subject to two erva penalties. Ela kevin dechad gufa hu afagav detrei surin enuksiv erva sa. Hachanami kevin dechad gufa hu afagav detrei surin enuksiv erva sa. The only reason why the Torah wrote in the singular is because we're talking about one woman. But you can have one woman be subject to multiple erva penalties. Here too, if it's your mother and she's your father's wife, you can have one woman being subject to two erva penalties. And don't be confused by the fact that the Torah uses it only in the singular language. That doesn't matter. You could still have a single woman meaning one woman, I don't mean single in the not married sense, but you can have one woman being subject to two erva penalties. So
your mother, who is your father's wife, is three ervas.
Right, in other words,
she's also an Ishri.
Correct, absolutely correct. It's right, it's interesting the Mishnah didn't point that out, but yes. So Ela Amarava, or it could be that the Mishnah is just simply talking about after the marriage was severed. So then Eshesish is taken out, but she's still Eshes Av. In other words, again, once an Erva, always an Erva. And she's also Imcha. Okay, could that could be the explanation of the Mishnah. Ela Amarava, so the Gemara now gives us a third attempted answer to our question. Again, to reset it one more time, according to Rav Yehuda, when a man has relations with his mother, who at one point in time was married to his father, he's only subject to the erva of Imcha, not to the erva of Eshesav. And our question is, where did Rav Yehuda come up with that? What is the source of Rav Yehuda? So, Alam Areva Kesav Rav Yehuda Erva Savicha Zu Eshesavicha. So the Gemara says, when it says Erva Savicha in the Torah, so that's a reference to Eshesavicha, your father's wife, meaning. What you could have done in terms of interpreting the Torah is that you could have said Ervas Avicha, meaning it's actually a reference to a father, and what the Torah could have meant, it doesn't mean it, but what the way you could have understood the Torah is that it's talking about a son sodomizing one's father, in addition to being also that an act of Mishkav Zachor, which is also in the Torah. In addition to that, it could also be an Erva as well. And that's what the Torah is making reference to when the Torah says, Ervas Avicha. But the Gemara immediately dispels that notion. Erevas avicha in the Torah means eishes avicha. It's referring to your father's wife. And we learn now through Gzereshava. Umashma bein eishes aviv shehimo, bein eishes aviv she'eno imo. And that means that your father's wife is going to be usher to you, whether she is your mother, she's not your mother. Meaning, as long as she was married to your father, regardless of whether she's your biological mother or not, she could be your mother, she could be a stepmother, as long as she was married to your father, that is a prohibition of ervas avicha. Now, imo she'eno eshes aviv minayin, so now if she is your mother who is not eshes aviv, who's not married to your father, how do I know? Tamar lomar ervas imcha lo sigala imcha hi. Mishum imo tamechav avi tamechav mishum eshes aviv. So the Gemara says, so that extra pasuk is now coming to tell me that when it's your mother and she's not married to your father, so we now have a separate pasuk dedicated to that woman, and that woman now is only going to be prohibited to you via eishes imo. Or let me just quickly put this answer in just in other words, but it's the same basic idea. Since the Torah already told us that your father's wife is prohibited to you, and it doesn't matter whether she's your mother, she's not your mother. So we already have now under the umbrella of Erva Savicha, the woman who was once married to your father, whether she be it your mother or just a stepmother. If she's married to your father, that is Eishes Avicha. That's Ervas Avicha. Now when the Torah goes out and says, Imcha Hi, that is telling us that there is a separate prohibition, totally segregated from the Isser of Ervas Avicha, and that's coming to tell me that when one has relations with his mother, he's going to be subject to a totally separate and independent prohibition of the Torah, and that is Imcha, and that is with having relations with one's mother, and that will be to the exception and to the exclusion of Ervas Avicha. Tanya Kavasi, the Gemara says, this final approach of understanding Rav Yehuda is in fact supported by a Braisa. We are on the very top of Nandala Mid Aleph, and the Gemara here quotes the Braisa, Ish Prat Lekatan Asher Ishkav Es Eishes Aviv. So a man, to the exception, to the exclusion of a minor, who has relations with Eishes Aviv, Mashma Ben Eishes Aviv Shehimo, Ben Eishes Aviv Shlo Imo. Now again, father's wife is all inclusive. It includes both father's wife who happens to be your mother and father's wife who is not your mother, meaning a stepmother. So, Imo She'eno Eishes Aviv Minayin. How do I know that a mother who is not currently married to your father, how do you know that she's going to be prohibited? Tamalom Eivas Aviv Gila. So, the Torah says, The erva of one's father he revealed. Mufne lahakish v'ladomi menu gzereshava. So what it allows us to do is, since that pasuk is perfectly superfluous, so therefore it allows us to make gzereshava. Mosim su biskila. Now, in terms of the actual punishment, the Torah says that they're put to death. And the Gemara interjects by saying, or I should say better, the Braisa. The Braisa interjects by saying that the way that they're put to death is through Skila. Atomer b'skila, oino ola ba'achas mikol misos ha'mos b'torah. How do I know? The Torah just simply says, mosim su. Nemer kam demeim ba'm, nemer ba'o v'yadoni demeim ba'm, malahalim b'skila, afkam b'skila. So the Gemara says, we learned it out through Oviyadoni. The words demeim ba'm connects us to Oviyadoni. We know by Oviyadoni different types of sorcery. The Torah explicitly says that they're put to death by Skila. So the Gzereshav of Demei Ambam tells us that the same punishment will be meted out for the man who has relations with his father's wife. So Shamanu Azar, Onesh Shamanu Azar Minayin. Now we know the punishment. Where is the Azara? We have a basic rule throughout Shas, and in these Dapim, the rule come up again and again, and that is that the Torah has to give two different psukim. One pasuk to teach us about the warning, meaning the introduce us to the actual Isser itself, and another pasuk is there to teach us about the punishment. As I mentioned earlier this morning, that's basically the function of the two parshios. Achrei Mos is the introduction to the Azara. Kedoshim is the actual onish itself. So now, we now know that there is a punishment of Skila. Where is the Azara? Tamalomer, Ervas Avicha, Lo Sigaler, Ervas Avicha, Zu Eishes Avicha. So here we go back now to Achrei Mos and Ervas Avicha. And what is the Ervas Avicha coming to include? And again, there was a Havamina. It was immediately dismissed, but there was a Havamina that Ervas Avicha is actually referenced to the father himself, meaning that the Torah is prohibiting sodomy with one's father. But that's not what the Torah is making reference to. And the Gemara here goes on to explain. Ervas Avicha lo segale, Ervas Avicha zu Eishes Avicha. Is a reference to Eishes Avicha. Ato amar Eishes Avicha, oino ela Ervas Avicha mamash. Again, the Gemara over here is entertaining that Havamina. Maybe it's talking about one's father, meaning sodomizing one's father. Nemar kan Ervas Avicha lo segale, We have a pasuk in Kedoshim that says Ervas Aviv, which is clearly a reference to his wife. So we know that the expression of Ervas Avicha is not making reference to one's father, but one's father's wife. So umashma beneshes aviv sheimo, beneshes aviv sheino imo. And when the Torah generates the iser, meaning not the onish, but the iser of Eshes Aviv, so the Torah is saying that it is your father's wife regardless of whether she's your mother or not your mother. Meaning any woman who had marriage with your father is usher to you. Be it your biological mother, be it your stepmother. Imo she'eno Eshes Aviv minayin. So now, what if she's your mother but she's not married to your father? So how do I know that she is prohibited? Tamalomer ervas imcha lo sigala. So we have the pasuk of ervas imcha. Ein li ala bazar sha'asa kasav imo she'eno Eshes Aviv. So now we have an azara that a mother who is not married to your father is going to be like your mother who is married to your father. Onish minayin. How do I know that there's also going to be a punishment as well? Meaning, where do we see that there's an onish for such a woman? Nemar kan ervas aviv chalo segala, v'nemar lahalan ervas aviv gila. Ma ba'azara asa kasav imo she'enu eishes aviv, ki imo she'eishes aviv, af ba'onesh asa kasav imo she'enu eishes aviv, ki imo she'eishes aviv. To put it succinctly, by virtue of the fact that we have psukim both in Achrimos and in Kedoshim that describe this relationship of you to your mother, meaning just like in the Azara, the Torah prohibits your mother, whether she is married to your father or not married to your father, so too by the Onesh, the punishment also is going to be true whether she is your mother married to your father or your mother not married to your father. The whole purpose of us reading this Brice is to teach us that Rava's explanation, Rav Yehuda, is spot on. Meaning, again, the question is that when a man has relations with his mother who's not currently married to his father, so Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah taught us that you only chayev one, not two. You only chayev for Imo, not for Eshes Aviv, even though she, of course, was at one point in time married to your father, but still, she are not going to be chayev on Eshes Aviv. And why not? So the Gemara, in the course of this morning, we went through two suggestions the Gemara rejected. We then went through the third suggestion of Rava, which the Gemara not only accepted, but brought a brisa supporting that suggestion as well. That's what we just covered. That's what we just went through. That was the Tanya Namehachi, or I should say better, the Tanya Kavase de Rava that you're seeing on the top of the Amud.
It doesn't matter that your mother or your mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law is a separate pasuk. That's a separate pasuk in the Torah. That's not our discussion for today. So imcha he mishum im. Right, your stepmother. Right, that's right. That's learned from these pesukim. Okay, shehi imsar. I'm sorry. Imcha he mishum ima tamechav via tamechav mishum eshesav. Okay, period. And that's the end of the brisa. And that is now the brisa that supports Rava's understanding of. Where did Rabbi Yehuda get it from? We now know. Rabbi Yehuda got it from the series of drushas that we just learned together. V'rabanan. And now, for the balance of this particular sugya, the Gemara is going to go into its standard ping-ponging of what will the Chachamim do with that pasuk? What's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with the Chachamim's response? And we're going to go back and forth. And we're going to go in our classic Gemara ping-pong, where basically, we know there's a machlokas, and what is each side of the machlokas going to be doing with the psukim that under discussion? V'rabanan. Now remember, according to the Chachamim, if one has relations with his mother, he's subject to two arayos. One for her being your mother, and two for being, at one point in time, historically, Eshes Av. So what is the Chachamim going to do with the psukim cited by Rabbi Yehuda? So, V'rabanan, ervas avicha mamish hi, mive'ed zachar nafka. V'rabanan, ervas avicha mamish. So according to the Chachamim, ervas avicha means mamish, meaning it's what we thought as a havamina previously. The Gemara now is suggesting that according to the Chachamim, no, that's actually what it means. It means a man having relations with his father. So the Gemara says, ve'ed zachar nafka. Well, the Gemara says, what do you mean? In terms of homosexuality, that is another pasuk in the Torah. So the chayev alav shtayim, uchid Rav Yehuda, dam Rav Yehuda, nachri abal aviv chayev shtayim. Habal al achi aviv chayev shtayim. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's coming to bring about multiple isurim, meaning we find that, where the Torah sometimes has one action, but under two isurim. So Rav Yehuda also makes a statement that a Nachri, a Nachri who has relations with his father is going to be Chayev two isurim, and habal achiyav chayv shtayim, and one who has relations with his uncles is going to be chayv shtayim as well. So amar rav and mistaber milsa de rav Yehuda b'Yisrael b'shogeg uvekarban. So the and as far as the, him using the word nachri, he didn't really mean nachri. He meant Yisrael and shogeg and karban, meaning that it was a Jew having relations with either his father or his uncle. And when he said chayv shtayim, he meant two karbanas, two karban chatasas, meaning it was a case of shogeg. So the fact that he said nachri, he's just speaking nicely, so to say, meaning he was using nice, clean language. But in other words, but he meant a Jew. So the Gemara says, because if we're talking about a nachri, so we're not talking about karbanos, we're only talking about one thing and one thing only. We're only talking about the death penalty, and you can't be killed twice. We already made this point earlier today. It's kind of an obvious point. It's a pretty salient point, but you can't be killed twice. So if the point he's trying to make is that by a nachri you're going to be killed twice, once for Mishkav Zachar and a second time for an ancestral relationship, but if the only liability the only punishment that relates to a non-Jew is only the death penalty, so then what's the point of ringing him up for two? If we're talking about Yisrael and we're talking about a Karban Chatzah, so obviously there's a point of ringing him up for two in the event that it's a case of shogeg. Okay. Tanya Nami Achi, the Gemara quotes the Braisa that supports this as well. Habal Aviv Chayiv Shtayim. Habal Achi Aviv Chayiv Shtayim. So if one has relations with his father, he's going to be subject to two isurim, two arayos in the Torah. One for ervas avicha, which again, previously we only suggested as a havamina, that it was referring to having relations with one's father. Now, according to this price, that's not a havamina, that's accurate, that's correct. And on top of that, also mishkav zachor. And the same thing is true with one's uncle as well. Igadami deloka Rabbi Yehuda, v'igadami afilo tem Rabbi Yehuda. Umaisila bekavachom me achi aviv. Now, is Rav Yehuda going to subscribe to this viewpoint? Some say yes, some say no. Now, the one who says no, we understand, because Rav Yehuda learned out the pasuk of Ervas Avicha, not as a reference to somebody sodomizing his father, but as a reference to sodomizing his father's wife. That's what we saw previously. If, on the other hand, you want to say that Rav Yehuda agrees with this, so it could be that it could be derived through a Kavachomer. Uma achi aviv de korva da aviv hu, chayiv shtayim, if one has relations with his uncle, who obviously is only related to you through your father, you're going to be chayiv too. So aviv lo kol shekein. And so for sure, when one has relations with one's father, how much more so? So in other words, it's a kavachomer. V'kamiflugi b'plugti d'abai v'rava, mar sever on shem inadin, mar sever ein on shem inadin. Now, yes, it should bother you. What have we just done? We have just arrived at onesh min hadin, punishing somebody based on a kavachomer, but the Gemara says, subject to a machlokes between Abai and Rava, in terms of whether or not we punish somebody based on a kavachomer. V'rabanan, okay, so, azhara le'eshes aviv menalahu. Now, according to the Chachamim, where's the azhara for eshes aviv? Meaning, if according to the Chachamim, ervas avicha is taken literally, not figuratively, and it's referring to a man having relations with his father, so that now no longer in acharimos identifies having relations with one's father's wife. Where does that azara come from? Where is it generated from? Nafkaluhu me ervas eishes avicha lo segala. So it learns it out from another pasuk in Parshat Acharimos where it says ervas eishes avicha. So Rav Yehuda, umi baile lazar leishes aviv lacher misa. So, and according to Rav Yehuda, that pasuk is coming to teach me that the one is not allowed to have relations with one's father's wife even after the father died. V'rabbanan umi sefer dekra nafka. Now the Chachamim also arrive at that very same conclusion, but just looking at the end of the pasuk, ervas avicha she was married to your father. Rav Yehuda, umi baile mishum eishes avata mechayv aviata mechayv mishum eishes ish. And Rav Yehuda is coming to tell me that no, that pasuk is coming to tell me that you're only going to be chai for Eishes Av and not for Eishes Ish. Va'anan tanam, the Gemara says, but didn't we learn in our Mishnah, Abal Eishes Av, chai v'la mishum Eishes Av, u mishum Eishes Ish, bein b'chai aviv, bein la'achar mises aviv, v'lo palug Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, if you go back to our Mishnah, you will note that according to our Mishnah, when one has relations with Eishes Av, you're going to be chai for Eishes Av, and you're going to be chai for Eishes Ish, and Rav Yehuda does not argue on that point. Amar Abaye Palik Bebraisa. So Rav Yehuda says, look, Rav Yehuda didn't argue in our Mishnah, but I have a Braisa, says Abaye, that teaches me that Rav Yehuda argues in that case as well. V'Rabbanan, we're almost done. V'Rabbanan, onesh Eishes Ish la'chamisa minaluhu. Where do we know that Eishes Ish, after After death, How do I know that your father's wife, after your father's dead, is still going to be considered Ashes Aviv? So, Bishlam Rav Yehuda Maisa Lav Gzereshava. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, he learned it out through Gzereshava. Ela Rabbana Menalu, but according to the Chacham, and where did they derive it from? Amalcha, wherever Saviv, Gila, the Mafik Lav Rav Yehuda Gzereshava. So, the Chacham will tell you. That Ervas Aviv Gilah, where Rav Yehuda dedicated that towards the Gzereshava, Mafkele Inu, La'onish Te'eshes Aviv La'achar Misa. So the Chachamim say, look, we don't hold the Gzereshava, but we're going to take those very words, and we're going to use it in order to conclude that a father's wife is going to be Aser, even after the death of the father. V'Rabbanan Onish Le'imo She'enu Eshes Aviv Minaluhu. Now, according to the Chachamim, one's mother, who is no longer married to one's father, and a man has relations with her, how do I know about the onesh? Meaning the azhara, we've already concluded according to the chachamim, but what about the onesh, the punishment? And here we go. Amar of Shisha, Bered Ravidi, Amar Kra, Imchahi, Asa Kasav, Li'imo She'enu Eshes Aviv, Ki'imo She'i Eshes Aviv. The Imchahi Pasuk, which we made reference to at the beginning of this entire sugya, but now the Gemara here brings it at the tail end. The Imchahi reference to one's mother means that she is your mother, regardless of whether she is currently married to your father or not currently married to your father. Just like when mother is married to one's father, one is subject to a punishment. So too when one's mother is not married to one's father, is also subject to a punishment as well. And so therefore, where do we stand right now? So we have, in terms of Hazar and Onesh, basic agreement between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda, that when one has relations with one's mother, there's an Azara, there's an Onish, there's a warning, and there is a punishment, and it is a capital crime. And the only thing that is open for a machlokus between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim is when one has relations with one's mother who's no longer married to one's father. Is she both Imcha and Eshes Av? That's the machlokus between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, like we said in the beginning of the sugya. But now what we've done is we just basically have covered all the psukim that brought us to this point and brought us to this conclusion. How the Chachamim are going to tackle the psukim, how Rav Yehuda is going to tackle the psukim. But to end off the discussion, Rav Yehuda says that when one has relations with one's mother, who is no longer married to one's father, it is only Imcha, it's not Eshes Av. Masha'enkin, according to the Chachamim, she is both Imcha and she's Eshes Av as well. That's that is the machlokus between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim.
Why do the Chachamim think it's Eishes Av? The status is that he's not married to her now because he's dead.
Now,
that marriage is no longer married.
But in other words, that doesn't matter. In other words, she was given the status of Eishes Av while married, and even though dad died, so she still has the status of Eishes Av. She was the, now is she, what? She, right, she was the wife of your father, but was the wife of your father is still status. That's also the same thing. In other words, still, Eishes Av. In other words, she has that Erva label. Okay, one more discussion about Kalasul Lechayv Nami Mishem Eishes Beno. So the Gemara here entertains the following, that when you have a daughter-in-law, so the Gemara right now is entertaining the possibility that maybe there are two Isurim in the Torah. One, where she is called Kalasul, she's called your daughter-in-law, and two, Eishes Beno, she is the wife of your son. Now, if you think about it for a moment, if I were to pause and allow for you to think about it, like, you should be a little bit confused. Like, isn't that one in the same? The Gemara uses two different phrases. So the Gemara is just right now entertaining just for a moment the idea that maybe there are two separate Yisurim. Now, again, if we're talking about capital punishment, it doesn't matter. In other words, you can't kill a person two times over. We're talking here about Bishogeg, and the Gemara is entertaining the idea maybe you should be two carbon chattasas. Amar Abai, Pasach HaChasa, Bekalasa, V'seim Be'eshes Beno, Lamalacha, Zui Kalasa, Zui Eshes Beno. The Gemara immediately dispels this Havamina, and the Gemara says that Eshes Beno and Kalasa are really one and the same. They are synonymous terms. It is not making reference to two different Isurim. We start the next bit of Mishnah and Gemara. So this Mishnah is kind of like almost like a commentary on the previous Mishnah. Meaning in the previous Mishnah, we outline 18 different Yisurim in the Torah where a person is going to be subject to not only the capital punishment, but the capital punishment of Skila. 18 Yisurim in the Torah where it is paired with the Skila death penalty. And the previous Mishnah went through all 18. And now our Mishnah over here is going to be going through them in slight more detail, not much more detail, but just a little more detail. If a person has either homosexual relations or bestiality, or isha mevias a behema, or if the woman has a bestiality relations with an animal, so I know that's redundant. So beskila, so the punishment is going to be skila. Im adam chote behema machata. Now, the understanding of the assumption is that both the person and the animal involved is going to be chayev skila. Now, that's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah tells us that the animal is going to be put to death as well. The Mishnah is almost giving us like time of the Torah. The Mishnah is giving us like some understanding of the Torah, an attempted understanding of the Torah. Why are we going to put the animal to death? The animals, the death penalty of an animal cannot be have anything to do with the volition of an animal. The animal doesn't have volition. The animal doesn't have a mind. The animal doesn't think. The animal doesn't have bechira. There's no reason from a volitional standpoint that we would be killing an animal. But yet the Torah says they're going to put the animal to death, and we're now trying to understand why that should be. So the Mishnah, in kind of like a sefer hachinuch type of, you know, type of thinking, is going to give us time of dekra. Why are we putting the animal to death? The Gemara over here gives two possible suggestions. So one possibility, says the Mishnah, is that, look, this animal was the cause of the destruction of a person. Meaning that the person, his Yetzer Hara got the best of him, and he had relations with this animal. And this animal now being a cause and a source of the ruination of a man, so therefore the animal himself should be put to death. Davar Acher, the Gemara gives a second explanation. Shalotei Behema Overes Beshuk, V'yom Luzushin Iskaploni Al Yada. This animal is a source of embarrassment for that person. Now the person's already dead. But still, in other words, a part of kavod habrios and dignity and is not only while a person's alive, he would like not to be embarrassed, but even post-mortem, and the person would like not to be embarrassed. And you could also add to this that not only is it an embarrassment to him, but it's an embarrassment to his family as well, and they're all alive and well. So, but however you want to say it, this animal is a source of embarrassment if the animal were to be left alive and walking around. So in order to save embarrassment from the perpetrator, so therefore the animal is put to death, so no longer can people point to the animal and say, let me tell you a little story about that particular animal. So once the animal is no longer around, so then people will not be tempted to tell that story.
Haven't we seen this mission before in previous Masechus?
Hmm?
Haven't we seen this mission before?
Interesting. I don't remember, but okay, could be, and I just simply don't remember. Yeah. This idea is not the first time, right? It's not the only time that we've expressed this idea. But in terms of where it is, I personally don't recall where else we saw it. But you could be right. The Gemara starts off Zachar Minala. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to go into some detail regarding Mishkav Zachar. So Zachar Minala. So the Gemara says, how do I know? Now the Gemara's question over here is. The sources for the punishment of Mishkar Zachor. So Tanur Rabbanan Ish Prat LaKatan. So we are quoting now from Kedoshim. Now again, just if you follow me from the beginning of the shiur today, so you know if we're quoting the Pesukim from Kedoshim, so that means that that's talking about the punishment, the Onish. The Azharas are all in Achremos, and the Onish is all in Kedoshim. So here, the Pesuk that deals with Mishkar Zachor. The Psukim, right, Pasuk Yigimel. Perchav Pasuk Yigimel. So, V'isha Sheishka, I'm reading the Pasuk inside first, and then we'll see the Gemara. V'isha Sheishka V'zachar Mishkevei Isha. If a man has relations with another man, Mishkevei Isha, the relations of that like a woman, we will explain that better together in just a moment. Toeva Sushneim, the two of them performed the Toeva, an abomination. Most Yumasu Demeim Bam. They're both to be put to death, Demeim Bam. That expression, Demeim Bam, is significant. We're going to see what the significance of that is in just a second. So now the Gemara, as it's classically done, takes each word of the Pasuk and darshans. Let's go, number one, Ish, Prat LaKatan. So number one, it applies to a man, not to a katan. Again, I didn't point this out yesterday, but even the Havamina of the Gemara is a little bit strange, meaning without the drasha, what would I have thought? I would have thought that a katan should be subject to the death penalty. In other words, he's a minor. We assume generally that a minor does not have the mental faculty to make proper decisions. And we generally say that a minor is not chayev, is not going to be liable for a death penalty. So without the drasha, what would we have thought? It's a worthwhile discussion. But It's a worthwhile discussion, but the conclusion, of course, is that prat lakatan, meaning a minor is not going to be put to death. Asher yishkavet zachar. Now, the Torah says that he has relations with a male. Now, over here, note, it does not say that he had relations with a man. It says that he had relations with a male. Bein begadol, bein bekatan. So now, in terms of the active participant, if he's having relations with a male, here it does not matter what age the male is. In other words, in Mishkav Zachar, there is no underage that would hold the person actively involved exempt. Okay, let me see if I can say it a little bit better. Meaning the active participant in Mishkav Zachar has to be an adult in order for him to be liable to the capital punishment. The participant, the other participant involved, does not have to be adult, can be a minor. Can be a minor, and seemingly from the Gemara, there is no age, there is no age limit. Now, obviously, the other participant, the passive participant, is not going to be put to death if he's a minor. That's not what the Gemara here is discussing. The Gemara is just simply discussing that the perpetrator, the active participant, is going to be put to death even if the passive participant is underage. Mishkevei Isha. So, Magalacha Kasso, Sheshne Mishkevos Beisha. Now, the Torah is teaching us a halacha, a chiddush regarding a woman, and that is that both natural and unnatural relations with a woman is considered bia. Meaning, here's how the Gemara arrives at that conclusion. The Torah describing Mishkav Zachar, homosexuality, the Torah describes it as Mishkevei Isha. Now, obviously, when it comes to a man, there's only one area of penetration. That's from behind. And yet, the Torah describes it as Mishkav. That's an act of relations. So what the Gemara now is teaching us is that we are now learning a halacha when it comes to a woman, that when it comes to a woman, there are two areas of penetration, and that both of them do qualify as Mishkav, meaning it's considered relations with a woman, both from the front and from the back as well. What we would call in halacha normally from the front, that would be a bia kedarka, that's considered normal, and from behind it's considered bia shelo kedarka, but it's still considered bia. And what you're going to find time and again throughout the Gemara, throughout the halacha, our discussions of Bia Shloka Darka is considered Bia. We just learned that together in our Gemara right here, in Sanhedrin Daf Nandalit. In other words, is it enough to effectuate a marriage? Is it going to create Kedushin? By Ones, if a man is Ma'anis a Nara Shloka Darka, is he going to be chayv the penalties that the Torah finds a person as per the beginning of the Gemara in the third parak of Ksuvos? Okay, et cetera, et cetera. Meaning, the starting point of any discussion is considered bia, and it's not just a question of, you know, for how many halachas is it considered bia. But it is in fact considered bia. Magilacha kasur shashem mishkos vosh bi'isha amar yishmal harezabal lamed v'nimsa lamed. An expression the Gemara sometimes uses, and this idea is that, look, the pasuk is the principal topic of the pasuk is mishkav zachar, it's homosexuality. And yet, meanwhile, the Gemara is teaching us a halacha regarding mishkevei isha. Meaning you thought that the Torah was teaching something regarding Mishkav Zachar, and meanwhile, it's teaching us a halacha actually in the other direction regarding Mishkav Isha. Mos yumsu biskila. Now, in terms of the death penalty, the Torah does not spell out which death penalty it is, and the Brice here tells us that it's skila. Ata omer. Biskila o eno elabachas mikol misos ha'amurs b'Torah. How do I know? Torah doesn't say. Nemar kan demeyem ba, menemar ba'ovi yidoni demeyem ba. Ma'ala halam biskila afkan biskila. So, already at this point in Sanhedrin, you should know, whenever you see the words Demei and Bam, that is code for Skila. We learned over Yedonit, where the Torah explicitly states over there that a person is going to be subject to Skila, and the Torah uses by Ovi Yedoni Demei and Bam. So too, anytime you see the words Demei and Bam, that is now opens the portal for Xerishava to teach us that it's going to be Skila. Onesh Amanu Azar Minayin. Now, we know about the punishment. What about the Azar Tamalamar? So again, You should understand the structure of the Gemara now. Go back to Parshas Achrimos. The Ezachar lo sishkav mishkavei isha toevahi. So you go back to Achrimos and Perek Yud Ches and Vayikra, and there you're going to see the pasuk describing the Azara, the warning that you're not allowed to do it. Lamanu Azar l'shochev Azar l'nishkav minayin. Now the Gemara says, well, it's true that the Torah does say that let me start like this. Sorry. When it comes to the punishment, the Torah clearly punishes both participants in the act, in the homosexual act, both the shochev and the nishkav. Now, just to be clear, when the nishkav is not a willing participant, when he's being sodomized, obviously, I mean, I hope I don't even need to say this, but I'll say it. Obviously, that person's not going to be punished. That person's not held liable. In other words, if it's against his will, if he's being sodomized, so then clearly that is, he's not going to be put to death. It's onis rachmana patre. What we're describing over here is where both participants are willing participants in the act. if they're both willing participants in the act, well, we know in Kedoshim that both are put to death. The Torah says it very clearly, Shnehem. The Torah says both of them. But in Acharimos, when the Torah lays down the Azara, the warning, the Torah is only talking about the Shochev. In order to punish both, you need a warning for both. Where is the warning for both? Again, this falls under the rule where you cannot punish unless there's a first a warning established in the Torah. Where's the warning in the Torah? Tamar lomar lo yekadesh mibnei Yisrael. So interesting, the Torah goes elsewhere for the warning, and that is to last week's parsha. Last week's parsha, the Torah says that you're not allowed to be a kadesh, and the Gemara understands that the word kadesh means to be involved in Mishkav Zachar. V'omer. Now, how do I know that? So the Gemara says, what we're going to do is we're going to take the pasuk in Kiseitse and we're going to link it with the pasuk in Sefer Malachim. V'gam kadesh haya ba'aretz asu kechol ha-to'evos ha-goyim asher horish. Divrei Rav Yishmael. So the pasuk in Malachim says kadesh, anyone who does any one of this to'evos. Now we know that to'evos, abomination, is a usage in describing both the active and the passive participant in the act of Mishkav Zachor. So now when you put all that information together, so now we have the word Kadesh, we have it also mentioned in Malachim, the Pasuk in Malachim describes it being a Toeva. We know that Toeva includes both the active and the passive participant in the act, so therefore when the Torah says Lo Ye Kadesh, that's describing not only the active participant but the passive participant as well, and this is all according to Rabbi Shmuel. So I know it's a little complicated, I understand that, but basically, where is the punishment? Stated explicitly in Parshat Kedoshim. Where is the Azara? Where is the warning? For the Shochev, it's in Achrimos. For the Nishkav, it's in Parshas Kiseitze. Two different Pesukim. At least according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer and Utsarach. Rabbi Kiva says no. Unnecessary. Meaning we don't have to go to Parshas Kiseitze. We don't have to link it to the Pasuk and Sefer Malachim. We don't need any of that. We can just simply look back in Achrimos and you're going to see encoded in the Torah is both the Azara for both the Shochev and the Nishkav. So, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, and Rabbi Kiva says that, you know, there's a way the Torah is pronounced, but there's also a way that the Torah could be pronounced. Rabbi Kiva is not suggesting that there's any other pronunciation of the Pasuk. But because the Pasuk is written in a certain way, and since it could be pronounced a different way, so what Rabbi Kiva allows as part of his methodology is that you could read it the different way in order to expound a separate point. Since the Torah says lo sishkav, and it could be read as lo sishachev, that's nif'al, that's the passive participant, so encoded in that pasuk is not only the azara for the shochev, but for the nishkav as well. Now, behema manala. Now, we're going to do the same thing when it comes to mishkav behema. I'll do this quickly. Tanu rabbanan ish par lakatan asher yishkav, asher yitin shchava to, bivhema, bein begidol, bein begitana. So in bestiality, there is no age. There's no underage when it comes to the animal. Again, what is the punishment going to be for bestiality? The Torah does not say. The Torah just simply says mosim su. So nemar kan ta'arogu v'nemar la'alan ki arog ta'argenu ma la'alan b'skila afkan b'skila. So here we don't have the words demehem ba mentioned by bestiality. So we have a different gzereshava that takes us from here to mesis. By mesis we know the punishment is skila. So too by bestiality the punishment is going to be skila. Lamanu onus l'shochev onus l'nishkav minalan. How about the punishment for the nishkav? That is the passive participant to bestiality. So the Gemara notes that in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah tells us that a man is not allowed to lie with an animal. Well, that is redundant. We already know that from Parshas Kedoshim. So what do we learn out over here? So we learn out over here that it's going to be a penalty, a punishment for both the active and the passive participant in bestiality. Lamanu onish bein l'shochev bein l'nishkav azar minayin. How about the azara? How about the warning? Tam lomar uvechol beema lo sitein shchavascha l'tama ba. Acharimos, in the pasuk in Acharimos, it says that one is not allowed to have relations with an animal. So lamanu azar l'shochev bein l'nishkav minayin. How about the nishkav? How about the warning for the passive participant in bestiality? Tam lomar lo yekadesh mibnei Yisrael va'omer v'gam kadesh haya ba'aretz divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel does the maneuver that he did previously, which is lo yekadesh, and included in lo yekadesh is immoral behavior, which includes being a passive participant of bestiality. Rabbi Kiva omer notzarech harei omer lo titein shechavascha lo titein shechivasech. Maybe I pronounced it correctly. Who knows? But the point is that just like Rabbi Akiva did previously, Rabbi Akiva will do the same thing over here. The Torah wrote it out one way. We have a Masorah in terms of how to pronounce it, but there could be another pronunciation. And based on the other potential pronunciation, so Rabbi Akiva arrives at the conclusion that there's not only going to be an Azhara for the Shocheb, but for the Nishkav as well. Okay, so where do we stand right now? Again, the conclusion, we all agree. There is a warning and a prohibition for Mishkav Zachar on both participants, the active and the passive. There is a warning and a punishment for Mishkav Behema for both the active and the passive participant. And the Gemara now notes that all this that we just went through actually would result in a nafkamina that would be a practical difference. Admittedly, it would be unusual, but it would be a practical difference. Habala Zachar Ve'evi Alav Zachar. Let's say a man is involved in Mishkav Zachar, and it was two different acts, and he was both an active and a passive participant. And we're not talking about where he did it b'mezid, we're talking about where he did it b'shogeg. Now, again, shogeg here is unusual, admittedly, but if he did it b'shogeg, so now, he did all this in one state of halama, in one state of unawareness. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, since there are two different psukim in the Torah that generate two different isurim, so therefore for these two acts of Mishkav Zachar is going to be chayef two, meaning two karbanos. Chanam elo sishka v'chanam elo yekadesh. L'divre Rabbi Akiva, whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, eino chayef el achas. You're only going to be chayef one, because remember, for Rabbi Akiva, how do you generate these two isurim? Based on the dual pronunciation of the same word. But the same word, of course, means that it comes from the same pasuk, which means that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's the same pasuk that talks, that describes the shochev and the nishkav. So if you have one person who is involved in both in one state of unawareness, it's basically performing the same iser two times. And you only have one carbon if you do that. Lo sishkav, lo sishachev chadehi. And now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the same thing now for Mishkav Behema. Now, again, Rabbi Abba makes the same point, that when it comes to a man being involved in two acts of bestiality, one actively and the other passively, so according to Rabbi Shmuel, since these two isurim are generated from two different psukim, you're chayef two different carbon chatasis. And l'div Rabbi Kiva, einu chayef ala achas, shchavascha v'shchivascha chadehi. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you're only going to be chayev one, since it's generated from the same iser. Abaye Amar Afilu Div Rabbi Shmuel Nami Eno Chayev Ala Achas. So Abaye argues on Rabbi Abba's point. He says that no, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're only going to be chayev one. Dechiksev lo yekadesh menachriksev. So because really, I'm sorry. Lo yekadesh begavriksev. So the only iser that's generated from Lo Yekadesh is only Mishkav Zachor, not Mishkav Behema. Meaning that Abai is of the opinion that, yes, it's true, Rabbi Shmuel turns to Lo Yekadesh to generate the second Isser, but only the second Isser as it relates to Mishkav Zachor, not the second Isser as it relates to Mishkav Behema. So now we have an open-ended question, not open-ended, but now we have a missing box. Meaning, how do I know, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Azhara for Mishkav Behema on the passive side, Ela Rabbi Shmuel is Ela Nishkav Menale. So Nafkele Mikol Shochev Im Behema Mos Yumas. So the learns it out from the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Meino Inle Shochev Taneu Inle Nishkav. So even though the Torah does not need to tell us about Shochev, because that's already been taught to us in Parshas Achrimos, so therefore it's taught to us regarding Nishkav. Afke Rechman Ela Nishkav Velashon Shochev Ma Shochev Anash Vehizir Av Nishkav Anash Vizir. So just like by Shochev, there's both a warning and a punishment, so too by Nishkav, there's going to be a warning and a punishment as well. But according to Abaye, according to Rabbi Shmuel, when it comes to Mishkav Behema, both the Shochev and the Nishkav are really generated from one singular pasuk, and therefore there's not going to be multiple carbon chatasis. Okay, we'll pause over here. Hanir v'la Zachar, Hanir v'la Behema is where we're starting off tomorrow. Okay, and as far as tomorrow's schedule, we can go offline.